From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian president to take immediate decision on evacuation of 74 ship crews. Reaches 700 cases, Japan's second most positive coronavirus. And those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will take immediate decision on the evacuation of 74 Indonesian crew members of the Diamond Princess cruise ship that is currently being quarantined off Yokohama, Japan. The 74 crew members of the ship tested negative for coronavirus, while four other Indonesian crew members are confirmed to have contracted the COVID-19 and are under medical treatment in Japan. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Cultural Affairs, Muhajir Effendi, started at the Presidential Palace complex on Thursday. He has conveyed the options to the President, and the President will consider it in a day or two. The cruise ship docked at Yokohama Port and was under quarantine after some of its passengers had tested positive for coronavirus. Effendi stated those who tested positive could not be evacuated, and they have to be given medical treatment there. The Indonesian embassy in Tokyo has maintained steady communication with the Indonesians aboard the ship over logistical support and ensure protection for them. Indonesia requests that violence in the Idlib region of Syria be immediately stopped and encourage all parties to restore calm in the region and not prolong the suffering of civilians. The request was made by Ambassador Dian Triansah Jani, Indonesian permanent representative to the United Nations in New York, at a UN Security Council meeting on Syria in New York. In his official statement on Thursday, Ambassador Jani stressed that a ceasefire agreement must be respected. According to the United Nations, since the escalation began on December 1, 2019, 900,000 people were displaced, the majority of women and children. Meanwhile, the UN and other humanitarian partners have been overwhelmed by requests for humanitarian assistance on the ground. Ambassador Jani added that the complexity of the Syrian conflict must not be added to the actions and rhetoric that further provoke and aggravate the situation. He said it was time to refrain and look for concrete solutions for Syria. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Wisnu Utama Kusubandio, is now collaborating with the Geospatial Information Agency, BIG, to target potential locations for tourism development. Wisnu Utama Kusubandio, during a visit to BIG's office in Cibinong, Bogor, or Regency, West Java on Thursday, said Geospatial Information Agency would be able to provide a detailed explanation of potential locations. He also claimed that he would get information on the level of disaster vulnerability in each of these that would provide adequate tourism. He added, from tourism sector, the government is able to improve the economy of the surrounding community and for the country. The Indonesian National Police Headquarters is ready to send additional personnel to help secure the 20th National Sports Week, which will take place from October 20 to November 2, 2020 in Papua Province. Papua Regional Police Chief Inspector General Paulus Waterpau in Timika sat on Friday. He had been notified by National Police Chief General Idam Aziz to strengthen security for Papua's 20th National Sport Festivity. The Papua Regional Police prepare for 1,500 personnel to secure the 20th National Sport Weeks, which will take place in four cities, namely Jayapura City, Jayapura Regency, Timika, and Merauke. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Japan is the second country that has the most cases of coronavirus after China. Until Friday, there are 717 cases of the coronavirus in Japan. Reported by AFP, there have been hundreds of cases, including 634 people who tested positive for the corona on the Diamond Princess cruise ship that had been quarantined in Yokohama waters. Of more than 600 people who tested positive for the coronavirus, two were declared dead on Thursday. Diamond Princess has been quarantined since early February after one of the passengers who boarded in Hong Kong tested positive for corona. As many as 76,199 people are infected with the coronavirus worldwide. The majority of corona patients are in China, with a total of around 75,000 cases. Two Australians who were evacuated from the Diamond Princess cruise ship tested positive for the coronavirus. This was confirmed by Australian authorities on Friday. Hundreds of cruise ship passengers who docked in Yokohama, Japan, had left the ship on Wednesday after undergoing quarantine for 14 days. About 500 passengers were allowed to leave the ship after undergoing tests and were declared negative. Health official for the Northern Territories, Dion Stevens, was quoted as saying by AFP, "It found two people positive for the COVID-19 virus, but people have a mild illness." The two people were part of six Australians who were retested. Of the two patients, one of them is an elderly citizen. Vietnamese police have arrested seven people in the deaths of 39 immigrants who were found in a truck in London, England last year. Ha Tinh, provincial regional police said of the suspects was a Vietnamese resident in China. He was charged with making immigrant profiles for 67 people from various regions in Vietnam so that they can work illegally in Britain and Europe. Police, in a statement on Friday, said they contacted the victim at the end of June 2019 and gave a tariff of $22,000 to profile immigration in September. The victims were taken to China, France, and Britain. The discovery of 39 bodies of immigrants in the UK shows human trafficking from poor countries in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East to be sent by Western countries. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Towards the Arrival of President Donald Trump to India. Well, listener, next week, United States President Donald Trump is going to visit India to attend an event called Namaste Trump, or Trump's Regards, at the cricket stadium. He will be accepted by the ranks of Howdy Modi supporters of the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. According to the plan, President Donald Trump will drive along a road opposite the slum area. The interesting thing is that Prime Minister Narendra Modi built a wall along the slum area that reaches a half kilometer. So around 2,000 poor people in the area would not be spotted. Domestically, the Prime Minister move has been criticized. Prime Minister Modi is considered to want to cover India's original face. However, senior official Bijal Patel denied this. The wall that was built is for security reasons, not to cover the slum area. The unique point is that also the similarity between Narendra Modi and Trump in the wall problem. President Donald Trump was once becoming a controversy when he would build a blockade on the American and Mexican borders. Thus, Trump and Modi can be said to be similar. But more important than that, America and India had become long-term partners. The Trump administration has consistently portrayed India as one of its main allies in the Indo-Pacific region. The U.S. Pacific Command has changed its name to the Indo-Pacific Command and emphasizes the strategic relationship between the Indian Ocean and the Pacific. As India strives to make its presence felt at the international level with increasing involvement, China's reluctance to recognize India's global revival has negative impact on the Indian's involvement in its immediate environment. India seeks to improve many of its strategic challenges by expanding relations with the United States. Basically, the Asia-Pacific region has become a focal point for several major countries. In particular, India and China are fighting for influence in the Asia-Pacific region. Since the beginning of his administration, President Trump has approached India and vice versa. With U.S.-China relations experiencing ups and downs, India certainly hopes for the U.S. support to gain global influence to become a global power. Will this relationship get closer amid various American interest polarization? No one can guarantee that U.S. and Indian relations will continue to last. So far, America and India support each other, especially the problem of a technological development, and India is willing to authorize some technology to America. But like political items, there are never eternal friends and enemies. Only common interests that are mutually beneficial will make the allies continue together. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, our regular program of Today in History starts from an event on February 21, 1965, when Malcolm X was killed. On February 21, 1965, Malcolm X, an activist and African-American Muslim figure, was killed in New York City. Malcolm was declared dead after being shot by three men. One of shooters, a member of the Nation of Islam organization, was arrested. He claimed at the court of being one of the shooters, but he refused to identify other attackers. Next event was on February 21, 1972, when Luna 20 landed on the moon. Luna 20 was the second most successful mission of the three spacecraft on the moon by Soviet Union. It entered the moon orbit on February 18, 1972, and on February 21, 1972, Luna 20 landed on the hill area of the moon that was known as Terra Apollonius. When returning to the Earth on February 22, 1972, Luna 20 succeeded to carry out 30-gram sample of the moon sand and stones that was collected in sealed capsule. Finally, Luna 20 succeeded to land in the Soviet Union on February 25, 1972. The last event is on International Mother's Language Day. International Mother's Language Day is commemorated every February 21 to enhance awareness on diversity of linguistic, culture, and multilingualism. The day was commemorated for the first time on February 21, 2000, although formally it was determined in the UN Assembly through resolution which was issued in 2008. The commemoration was proposal of Rafiqul Islam, a resident of Bengali who stayed in Vancouver, Canada. He wrote a letter to Secretary General of the United States, Kofi Annan, on January 9, 1998, to preserve all languages throughout the world that endangered. He proposed the commemoration of International Mother's Language Day every 21, along with language movement,
Remembrance Day in Bangladesh. To remember demonstration that killed people in Dhaka on February 21, 1952, in a bid to protect language on Bengali as national language. There was Today in History.
Dan gembira di tengah pesta, kulihat si dia lincah gayanya, dandanan masa kini ingin hatiku mencium pipinya, tapi malu rasa.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Diversification Strategy of Export Market is Prepared to Anticipate the Impact of the Coronavirus. The Indonesian government preparing various strategies to anticipate the decline of trade balance performance due to the outbreak of coronavirus, COVID-19. China is the largest non-oil export market share in Indonesia. Indirectly, it's begun to have an impact on Indonesia's trade balance. This was stated by expert staff of Regional Development Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs Padi, Hamzar Rafinus, when opening the event Prime Planting of Cavendish Banana Plants Export-Oriented Horticulture Development in Benar Meriah Regency, Aceh, on Tuesday, February 18. The event was also attended by Regent of Benar Meriah, Tengku Sarkawi. Escorted by Business Indonesia, Bobby said that one thing to prepare is to encourage export of potential products with high competitiveness in the global market. In addition, the government also holds diversification export markets outside the main destination countries, such as the Middle East, and optimizing domestic production by encouraging increased export performance of products originating from other sectors, such as the agricultural sector. According to Bobby, as an agrarian country, the role of the agricultural sector in national economic growth is indeed increasingly important and strategic. Bobby Hamzaratinus moreover said, the improving export performance of the agricultural sector is driven by an increasing in export of horticultural subsector, especially annual fruits. Banana is one of annual fruit commodities that has good prospects because it has high economic value and market potential, which is still widely open. According to data from Trade Map International Trade Statistics, ITC, throughout 2018, Indonesia has exported until 30,000 tons of bananas, or more than $14,000 throughout the world. The biggest export of banana is to China. To accelerate the program to increase export of agricultural products, the Coordinating Ministry for the Economy encourages the development of export-oriented horticulture as one of the priority programs through partnerships between the central government, regional governments, the private sector, and farmers. This program has been successfully carried out in the development of banana and pineapple export commodities that have been carried out by Tanggamus Regional Government in Lampung Province. This program has successfully become a reference for the implementation of export in other regions. Listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Diversification Strategy of Export Market is Prepared to Anticipate the Impact of the Coronavirus. The Indonesian government preparing various strategies to anticipate the decline of trade balance performance due to the outbreak of coronavirus, COVID-19. China is the largest non-oil export market share in Indonesia. Indirectly, it's begun to have an impact on Indonesia's trade balance. This was stated by expert staff of Regional Development Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs Padi, Hamzar Rafinus, when opening the event Prime Planting of Cavendish Banana Plants Export-Oriented Horticulture Development in Benar Meriah Regency, Aceh, on Tuesday, February 18. The event was also attended by Regent of Benar Meriah, Tengku Sarkawi. Escorted by Business Indonesia, Bobby said that one thing to prepare is to encourage export of potential products with high competitiveness in the global market. In addition, the government also holds diversification export markets outside the main destination countries, such as the Middle East, and optimizing domestic production by encouraging increased export performance of products originating from other sectors, such as the agricultural sector. According to Bobby, as an agrarian country, the role of the agricultural sector in national economic growth is indeed increasingly important and strategic. Bobby Hamzaratinus moreover said, the improving export performance of the agricultural sector is driven by an increasing in export of horticultural subsector, especially annual fruits. Banana is one of annual fruit commodities that has good prospects because it has high economic value and market potential, which is still widely open. According to data from TradeMap International Trade Statistics, ITC, throughout 2018, Indonesia has exported until 30,000 tons of bananas, or more than $14,000 throughout the world. The biggest export of banana is to China. To accelerate the program to increase export of agricultural products, the Coordinating Ministry for the Economy encourages the development of export-oriented horticulture as one of the priority programs through partnerships between the central government, regional governments, the private sector, and farmers. This program has been successfully carried out in the development of banana and pineapple export commodities that have been carried out by Tanggamus Regional Government in Lampung Province. This program has successfully become a reference for the implementation of export in other regions. Listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Cemar, tinggi melayang, bersahutan.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment Indonesia Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, we introduce you to Curug Bajing. Listener, Pekalongan is a city in Central Java province, located in north coastline of Java Island, that directly connects Jakarta, Semarang, and Surabaya cities. The city is also adjacent to Java Sea. As batik city, Pekalongan also famous with its batik tourism. Besides being well known with batik, Pekalongan also has some beautiful natural tourism objects, one of which is Curug Bajing. Bajing Waterfall, or mostly known as Curug Bajing, is located in Tlogo Pakis Village, Petung Kriono Sub-District, Pekalongan Regency. From Pekalongan, it takes about 3 hours by using land transportation heading to southern area of Gunung Ergo Jembangan. During the trip to Curug Bajing, you can enjoy beautiful views but must be careful of winding road and sharp curve. After passing the winding roads, you can see the traffic cards going to Curug Bajing. When arriving at parking lot, you have to walk about 300 meters heading to the waterfall. Curug Bajing is the new tourism attractions in Pekalongan. The natural landscape around Curug Bajing, which has 75 meters high water level, is truly extraordinary and able to make everyone amazed while visiting the object. It is because Curug Bajing is located in a shady forest, appropriately at the valley of Mount Ergo Jembangan or in the mountainous area of Petung Kriono, which has been famous for its beauty since long time ago. Based on the research of the Pekalongan Regional Government, Petung Kriono is the only most beautiful area in Pekalongan Regency with a 100% level of shady protected forest. Therefore, sunlight is difficult to penetrate the ground more than 2 hours. Besides enjoying the beauty of the waterfall, visitors are also able to enjoy water sliding objects, sliding from the height of waterfall by using car tires with complete security equipment. Moreover, Curug Bajing also has camping ground area, and the authority has completed the area with some facilities such as bathrooms, gazebos, praying room, souvenir shops, and booths for drinking and eating. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Berjalan di muka rumahku, penuh kaya tersita pandanganku, hingga ku terpesona. Siapakah dirimu? Hatiku ingin tahu segera. Dimanakah rumahmu? Siapakah namamu? Sebutkanlah, ku ingin berkenalan. Terimalah salamku, kayamu dan
wajahmu terbawa dalam mimpi diriku di mabuk asmara. Hati yang berdenang pada pandangan pertama. Oh Tuhan tolonglah, aku cinta dia. Di saat kau berjalan di muka dunia, penuh gaya tersipu pandanganku.
Just listen to the third pop song, and for next segment we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to inform you about Indonesian startup develop flying taxi with drone technology. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. A company engaged in technology, especially drone technology, called Frox, developed a drone-based flying taxi. Frox are located in Yogyakarta, presently in Bangun Harjo, Sewon, Bantul. This taxi drone will be able to carry a maximum of 2 people with a load limit of 200 kg, and it is able to travel up to 100 km with only one battery charge and to fly 2,400 meters high above sea level for approximately 1 hour. The flying taxi from Frox will be exhibited by Hannover Messe on 20 until 24 April 2020 in Germany. Hannover Messe is the largest annual international exhibition event in the field of industrial technology. The event will be attended by more than 6,500 participants representing 73 countries. 225,000 international visitors from 91 countries and generating approximately 5.6 million business contacts. The Frogs team consists of experts experienced in the aircraft industry. Before starting the development of this taxi drone, the Frogs team had conducted research for almost 2 years and spent funds reaching 1 billion rupiah. By targeting the market share of air taxi services, the taxi drones will later be able to be used to transport cargo or goods, military needs, as well as various emergency interests, such as first aid to areas that are in need and difficult to access by land. One of the advantages of this taxi drone is that users can get to their destination faster because through the airland, so they can avoid traffic jams. This air taxi is also environmentally friendly and it is free pollution because the power used is electricity sources from batteries which can be refilled. That was Miss Lenny for today with the topic Indonesian startup develop flying taxi with drone technology. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Slow.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a medley regional song from West Java and Central Java. In electronic dance music reflects the culture of every region in Indonesia. But today's development of technology makes Indonesia regional music evolve into a modern one and attracts attention of young generation. Electronic dance music, well known as EDM, is one of musical genres which is loved by Indonesian young generation. This is able to facilitate various kinds of musical genres in order to be more modern. Take for example the song entitled Manuk Dadali and Padang Bulan, which is rearranged by Indonesian young generation, shows that there is Indonesian young generation who loves traditional songs. Here is Mariska with the song entitled Manuk Dadali and Padang Bulan in EDM version.
Saat ngapung luhur jauh di awal-awal meber kenjang-jang ngabangun kaya kariran kuku narang goas rejeng pamatuk nangalu ngapak mega bari hiberna tarik muru saha anu bisa nyusuh kana tandangna kandang jeng pertentang kaya bandinganana dipika gilir dipika serap kusasama kaya karang pantasian leber walanena manuk gadali manuk panggagana pare bangsa ti Indonesia jaya manuk gadali pangka koncarana resep kahiji rukun sakabehna manuk gadali manuk panggagana pare bangsa ti Indonesia jaya manuk gadali pangka koncarana resep kahiji rukun sakabehna. Pangka koncarana resep kahiji rukun sak
Indonesia.
Jangan dekat atau jangan datang kepadaku lagi. Aku semakin tersiksa karena tak memilikimu. Ku coba jalani hari dengan pengganti dirimu. Hatiku selalu berpihak lagi padamu. Mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa. Lagi padamu, mengapa semua ini terjadi kepadaku? Tuhan, maafkan diri ini yang tak pernah bisa.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.